So, Psalm 23. It's one of the psalms that I think might possibly be the most famous psalm. If not the most famous, it's definitely one of the most beloved. One of the psalms that we turn to for encouragement. One of the psalms we turn to for comfort. Right? Oftentimes when this is read at funerals or times in hospitals where we are in greatest need. And it brings great comfort and joy and encouragement. I love this psalm, Psalm 23. Now, when we look at this psalm, oftentimes it can be misunderstood and misused. Because I've seen it used and I've seen it misunderstood to think that this psalm is about us. Right? This psalm is about us. Follow Jesus, obey God, and he will lead you to green pastures and quiet waters, right? He will provide everything. And it kind of comes off to this sense that, oh, follow God and all will be sunshine and rainbows. Everything will be nice and easy. You'll get the desires of your heart. And it comes off as this whole, like, follow Jesus and you will receive these things. But I think if that's how we interpret this passage, we misunderstand the greater and deeper meaning. Because when we look at this psalm, Psalm 23, it's not about us, it's about God. And we see here that God is described in two ways. He is a shepherd in verses 1 through 4, and he is a friend in 5 through 6. Let's go ahead and again look at 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Man, this, as the shepherd, it's an incredibly and deeply personal and intimate relationship, right? Listen to what the psalmist is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. David's not talking on behalf of Israel. He's not talking on behalf of those who follow God or even those who don't. He didn't say, God is my shepherd. He believes in him. This is, and he trusts in him. And this relationship between God and David, shepherd and sheep, is the foundation for this psalm. Even using the word shepherd, when we look at other psalms, what is God referred to as? King, deliverer, rock, shield. All great and true titles that ought to belong to God. Yet none as intimate and personal as shepherd. We know this is intimate because the shepherd lives with his flock. The shepherd doesn't leave the flock. And the shepherd is everything to the sheep. The shepherd guides. The shepherd heals. The shepherd protects. We see in John chapter 10, verse 4, when he has brought all his own, this is Jesus speaking, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow because they know his voice. They know his voice. There's a deep, intimate relationship here. And again, the relationship between shepherd and sheep, God and David, again, out of this relationship flows the circumstances, flows the blessing. David's not pursuing green pastures and using God as a means. No, God is the end. Everything else is means. Everything else is blessing. And so when we look at this, we see it is deeply personal relationship. As we move on, we also see that this relationship also requires dependency and trust. The shepherd knows where to go. The shepherd knows where the green pastures are, where the quiet waters are, even where the darkest valleys are. But the shepherd goes and the flock follows. The shepherd is always thinking about the flock, observing the flock, making sure that they are safe, cared for, and protected. But as the shepherd goes, the sheep follow. And as they wander, the wandering will inevitably lead them to the dark valleys. And as we know with dark valleys, and as we know as sheep, we are incapable of caring for ourselves. The Bible often describes and uses the image as and describes people as sheep. And, you know, all of us being here in Devon know sheep are dumb, right? Sheep are foolish. They follow wherever, or they don't, they go wherever. They wander, right? Or often, you know, when I drove to Lee Abbey once, and, you know, they have those grates, in cattle grates or whatever. The amount of sheep I see stuck in the, you know, and they just constantly trying to, like, it's ridiculous. However, but David is using this metaphor. He's owning this metaphor, and he understands that we are like sheep. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot help ourselves, that we are dependent on God. And he knows that. He knows that it's only through God's working that we have a chance, especially when we go into these dark valleys where the enemy, where the predators await us, where they surround us. We can't save ourselves. And foolishly, like sheep, many of us might think we can do it on our own. But here, King David, the greatest king, right? A great warrior, a great ruler, great friend. Even he says, I can't do it. God can. We see here that David, in verses 1 through 3, he uses the third person pronoun for God. He's saying, he, right? He is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths. It's all for God's doing. But as we move into verse 4, we will see that then he changes to the second person and starts speaking as you. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. It's amazing, and this is incredibly profound, because he shifts from verse 4, talking from he to you, but notice that he's speaking about you when they enter into the dark valley. When the flock is being attacked, what is happening? When the flock is surrounded, what does the shepherd do? He no longer leads and guides. No, he is with the flock, and he protects them. In the same passage in the same chapter of the Gospel of John that we read, Jesus continues on and says this in John chapter 10, verse 10 through 15. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they, sheep, may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Yes, God is Lord. Yes, He is all powerful. He is all knowing, and He guides us, and we follow Him. But He is also with us. Not just in Jesus Christ, but he is with us when we enter through the darkest of valley. Charles Spurgeon tells us to look at the placement of Psalm 23 to see that it comes right after Psalm 22. and that we can only enjoy the blessings that are presented here in Psalm 23 when we truly understand what Christ did for us in Psalm 22, giving his life for you and for me, giving his life up for the sheep. This is truly profound. This is truly a beautiful thing. Then as we enter into verse 5 and 6, the shepherd metaphor is completed. We don't need that anymore. And it shifts into friend. God is known as friend, which it's a greater term of intimacy than shepherd. And it says here in verses 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Old Testament, when we look at these feasts and these tables, when you eat and drink at someone's table, it creates this loyalty. It creates this love and this covenant for one another. And so this table that David is talking about here, it's a table of victory. It is a table of celebration because the celebration is because of God's victory. God has won the victory. The shepherd, as he takes us through even the darkest of valleys, has overcome in Jesus Christ. And this table this image is sprinkled all throughout the Bible. We see it in Egypt, in Exodus, during the Passover meal, right? Only by the blood of the lamb painted on the doorposts for those who trusted in God were saved, right? They were able to feast and dine at a table as the destroyer passed over. We see it in the Last Supper when Jesus and his disciples feasting at this same table before he was given up to death for you and for me. But it's only through his death, resurrection, and that we have life. And lastly, we see it in communion. When you and I take of the wine and the bread, it represents, we take it in the presence of those who mock us. We take it in the presence of those who reject us, who hate us. But this feast is a celebration, knowing that it is only through Jesus Christ that we have life and that we have something, the victory, that we can celebrate. Believe it or not, we're at the takeaways already. Here we go. When we look at the takeaways, and finally our last point, as we look at the takeaways, we got to look from the perspective of sheep. And what are the three things that David says? I will not want, I will fear no evil, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, folks, don't misunderstand this psalm. The psalm is not about us, it's about God. And our focus should not be on the green pastures. Our focus should be on deep, intimate relationship with God. If our hearts and the desires of our hearts are set on green pastures as the end of all things, the desires of the heart, or once I have that, once I'm in that relationship, or once I have that position at work, or once I have enough money or accumulated enough stuff, then I will be happy. Then I will be blessed. That's missing the point of this psalm. Because if we're looking green pasture to green pasture, when we go through the darkest of valleys, we mistrust God. We lose hope in him. We question him. We even reject him and turn away because we've been told, oh, believe and follow God and you will receive the desires of your heart. That's not so. The focus and the end here is deep personal relationship with God. The next we look and we see here, I will not fear. I will fear no evil, right? And the psalm lays out the fact that we can't do anything on our own power. And as we see in the psalms, anything we try to do through our wisdom only leads to death, ruin, and destruction. So thank God it doesn't depend on me. Thank God that it's not based off of my power, or thank God it's not based off of my intelligence, because then I'd be in trouble, right? It's all based off of God, and we rely and depend and trust in Him. And when we do, we can say, I will fear no evil because He is with me. And lastly, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The hard truth is that we are all approaching death. We will all come to this point in our life, and we can try our hardest to run away from it. We can try our hardest to do whatever we can to live longer. But those who trust in the shepherd, the more we are molded into the likeness of Jesus Christ as we approach death, we won't hold on to the things of this world as tightly, even as we face death. The material things of this world won't matter. What does matter is our relationship with the Lord. Our life, we know, is not going to be good all the time. We know we are surrounded by danger, but in the midst of it all, our shepherd, I know that I can trust in Him. I will not want because my shepherd will provide. I will not fear because my shepherd will protect me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because even if I die, I will still be shepherded into life. Praise Him. Praise our God, the shepherd and the friend. Bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Lord, we praise You and we bless You and we thank You for Your faithfulness. Your love that endures forever. Your love that is faithful despite our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Despite when we choose the green fields and the quiet waters before the relationship, the deep, intimate relationship with You. And so, Father, this morning I ask that Your Holy Spirit work within our hearts, that we are able to shift our eyes from desiring and seeking the things that we want in this life and things that we think will bring us fulfillment and joy and peace, and turn them to the true source of life, joy, and peace, which is You. And so, Lord, we worship You, we praise You, be glorified, we trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen.